This is Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder. If you've been following this series from the beginning, you'll know that we've been going through the Kinos of Tisha B'Av and are nearing the end. If you haven't listened to the prior recordings, you'll still be able to follow along with our discussion today. Nonetheless, to more fully appreciate today's shiur, I'd encourage you to pause this recording and go back and listen from the beginning. So continuing where we left off, we ended with Kina 44. In many Kinos books, there are two Kinos inserted before the final Kina, number 45. Those two supplemental Kinos relate to the Holocaust. We commemorate the Holocaust on Tisha B'Av because, as we mentioned when discussing the Kinos for the First Crusade, Tisha B'Av was designated as the day to remember all tragedies that befell the Jewish people. It's also worth pointing out that it was on Tisha B'Av when the first trainload of Jews arrived at Treblinka, where they would be sent to the gas chambers. This was July 23, 1942. This occurrence makes the recitation of the Holocaust Kinos particularly appropriate. I should mention that not everyone accepts the incorporation of Kinos for the Holocaust into the Tisha B'Av service. Some argue that our religious leaders don't have the authority to compose contemporary kinos to add to our liturgy. Others claim that the intense devastation and suffering at the time of the Holocaust was of such a magnitude that it's impossible to fully capture it in a kina. Notwithstanding these objections and understanding the limitations, I'd like to take a few moments to read some of the passages in the Holocaust kinos written by Rav Shlomo Halberstam and Rav Shimon Schwab. They describe some of the horrors and the misery that the Jews suffered during the Holocaust, and they implore us to always remember the atrocities that were perpetrated by the Nazis. Al tishkachu b'chol hadaros tz'akasam uv'chiyoseihem. Never forget their screams and cries. Tzufufim uskurim b'akronim katzon latevach. As they were packed in cattle cars, like sheep led to be slaughtered. Yuvalu l'sreifa b'kivshonim. And led to the crematoriums. Simrosh Ashan v'kitor mekivshan. There were chimneys of smoke from the crematoriums. Tilei silem atzamos v'gidim v'chadrei haral. There were piles of bones and rooms filled with poison. Kol she'agot mikahal hanechnakim toch ta'ei ha'edim. The screaming and gasping of the people suffocating inside the gas chambers. It's heart-wrenching to read of this horrible suffering, to hear about the agony and torture that the victims went through. But as these kinos repeatedly insist, we must speak about it in order to never forget what happened. After all, these kedoshim deserve to be remembered. The final kina of Tisha B'Av, number 45, begins with the words Elitzion. This kina provides a litany of what we lost as a result of the destruction, mostly referring to our spiritual deprivations. Although Hashem's presence fills the entire world, there are places where His Shechina is felt more directly, more intensely. The Beis HaMikdash was one of those places where Hashem's presence was palpable, similar to when Hashem revealed Himself at Matan Torah. Like Har Sinai, the Beis HaMikdash was a place that enabled us to glimpse into the spiritual world. The Chorban ended all that. The theme of the Elitzion Kina is that no matter how much we weep over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it will never be sufficient. It compares our cries of mourning to the screams of a woman in childbirth and a bride who is bereaved of her husband at her wedding. Both of those people can't control their tears. So too, if we could really grasp all that is gone, we would never cease crying over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Now that we've concluded going through the kinos, I'd like us to step back and see how the kinos can help us feel like an avel over the Chorban. If we analyze the kinos closely, we find that the authors tapped into the feelings that are generally associated with mourning over the death of a loved one: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Long before these constructs would become known as the five stages of grief, the Paitanim intuited that one who experiences mourning will undergo each of these emotions. Therefore, if the objective of the kinos is to rouse and cultivate a sense of bereavement, they must incorporate all of these elements. And they do. In the denial stage, one struggles to grasp that the tragedy has actually occurred. This is the essence of the word eicha, which begins many of the kinos. Eicha is translated as, how can it be so? And, as we've mentioned, it's an expression of utter bewilderment over what has transpired. In kina number 7, eicha atzta, we can't comprehend how Hashem could have let so many terrible things happen to us, given the close relationship that we shared with him. For example, Hashem chose us at the Bris Bein HaBsarim. He carried us on the wings of eagles out of Mitzrayim. He gave us the Torah, which served as the ketubah at our wedding to him. Given all that and more, how is it possible that he allowed us to suffer the way we have? It's beyond comprehension and hard for us to accept as the reality. This issue of denial is also found in the first kinah that we say on Tisha B'Av morning, number 6, Shavas. This kinah expresses our disbelief that the Jewish people, who were once an exalted nation, suddenly became the objects of derision and scorn. I think this feeling of denial is most easily seen in kinah number 17, entitled Im Tochalna. In that kinah, we struggle to fathom how the normally compassionate Jewish people acted with callousness and even depravity towards their own children. You'll note that the kinah doesn't say ki tochalna, which would be translated as when or because Jewish women hurt their children. Instead, it says im tochalna, if Jewish women hurt their children. We know that these horrible incidents happened. It's a certainty. So why is this phrase written as if there's some doubt? This is an expression of our denial, where we struggle to believe that it's actually so, in spite of the facts before us. The next stage of grief is known as anger. The pain from a loss is often expressed as bitterness and outrage. Part of this anger is based on feeling that what happened wasn't fair. An example of this emotion is found in the kinah Eiko, number 13. You'll recall that in that kinah, we list instances of the Torah's use of the word ko in reference to events where we had a strong connection to Hashem. In each case, we ask why the merit of each ko wasn't enough to protect us from this tragedy. It doesn't seem fair. Similarly, in kinah number 18, Va'ata Amarta, we describe instances of our intimate connection with Hashem and ask him how he can be so distant now, given that prior closeness. In this anger phase, we complain that we are being deprived of something which we were promised and to which we are entitled. In questioning Hashem, we ask, how could he let this happen, and why didn't he protect us? As we noted many times throughout these shiurim, normally we are required to adhere to the principle of tzedek hadin, that Hashem's judgment is unquestionably correct. Only on Tisha B'Av are we permitted to indulge in this type of questioning. In the next stage of bargaining, the bereaved strives to find some way to improve the situation and, if possible, to restore the status quo as it was prior to the tragedy. This is beautifully expressed in kinah number 8, A'adeh ad chug shamayim, where we ask Hashem to help us find the words that would effectively advocate for our redemption and convince him to return us from our sorrow. The next phase is depression, where the bereaved wonders how life can continue in the face of the tragedy. He feels defeated, certain that his current pain will be his eternal reality. This despair and despondency is best captured in the kinah Eich Tenachamuni, number 28, where we profess that our grief over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is so great that it is impossible for us to be comforted. In the stage of acceptance, the person finally acknowledges and accepts that the calamity has occurred. In a Torah framework, this is taken a step further, where, although we may not understand the tragedy, we recognize that it was the correct and true judgment. Many kinos demonstrate this concept by admitting that the suffering that we were forced to endure was retribution for our misdeeds. We see this in the kinah Zachor Hashem Mehayalanu, where we describe a way in which we suffered and then note something that we did wrong that caused us to be punished in this particular way. By making this connection, we accept how Hashem punished us, Mida Keneged Mida. Similarly, in Kinos number 9 and 15, we admit our transgressions and then correlate each punishment with Hashem's warnings from the Tochacha. The concept of acceptance is explicit in the Kina Lecha Hashem Hatzdaka, number 19. We list various benevolent things that Hashem did for us and exclaim, Lecha Hashem Hatzdaka, you Hashem were righteous in how you tended to our every need. We, on the other hand, showed the ultimate ingratitude when we repaid Hashem's kindness with wrongdoing. We acknowledge our guilt by saying, V'lanu boshet hapanim, and we accept that any punishments that we've suffered, we deserved. In a recent book by David Kessler, an expert on bereavement, he identifies a sixth stage of grief, which he calls meaning. In this final stage, a person can transform his loss into something hopeful and uplifting by channeling his sorrow into something constructive. Like the first five stages of grief, this stage is also incorporated into the kinos. We see this, for example, in Kina 27, Azbim Lo Sefek, where Yirmiyahu advises us to do tshuva. Similarly, many of the kinos conclude with a sentence echoing the sentiment of the final pasuk of Megillas Eicha, Hashivenu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva, bring us back to you, Hashem, and we will return. This verse is meant to galvanize us to do tshuva and to correct our misbehaviors. As we've said many times before, tshuva is an important theme of Tisha B'Av. Chazal tell us that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt is considered culpable for its destruction. Therefore, Tisha B'Av isn't just a day to sit down and distantly remember the horrible events that happened in the past. Instead, it's a time to reflect on what we're doing wrong to prevent the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash. And then we need to commit to do better. While our mourning and sadness may end on Tisha B'Av, the real work starts on the 10th of Av, when we put the messages that we've learned from Tisha B'Av into practice. For example, we spoke about having Ahavas Chinam by uplifting others, making them feel good, and improving their lives. We learned about Rachel Imenu's sensitivity towards her sister Leah. We too can be compassionate and understanding of others and empathize with their situation. We discussed respecting other people's viewpoints and opinions, and not belittling or condemning those who think differently. If each of us commits to putting these lessons into practice, we will increase our achdus with one another. This is the antidote to the sinas chinam that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and will bring us closer to the ultimate geula, b'mheira v'yameinu.